This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
You know what that means on a Donnie Football Friday. It's time for Dr. Raymond Fittipaldi of the Post Gazette. Everybody loves Raymond. You can read his stuff at postgazette.com. He's brought to you by LGKG, the born and raised Western Pennsylvania injury attorneys who take your personal injury cases personally. Ray, I assume you're doing well today. From what I gathered, you seem to think that there's almost zero chance that Aaron Rodgers will be a Steeler. Do I have that right?
I would agree with that, yes.
Well, you're the one who said it. That's what I meant to say. Why do you feel that way?
Yeah, I just think 41 years old, Mike Tomlin, one's quarterback mobility. Aaron Rodgers comes with a bunch of baggage, especially at this point in his career. You know, Joe, if it was like 5 years ago, I think I would have been more open to it when Aaron probably had a few good years left in him. But, I mean, that game against the Jets at Acrisure, I mean, Aaron Rodgers kind of flushed that down the toilets. I mean, the Jets were up by more than a touchdown in the first half. He throws that pick to Beanie Bishop, and then it's all downhill from there. So I just think they have better options, and I think I'd be fine with either Justin Fields or Russell Wilson over Aaron Rodgers at this point.
You'd be fine with Russell Wilson?
Over Aaron Rodgers, yeah.
Now, when it comes to Justin Fields or Russell Wilson?
Oh, I would think, yeah, I mean, listen, Justin Fields has that quarterback mobility that the Steelers want. And, I mean, it's hard to watch the NFL playoffs and not come away with, you know, thinking that, you know, you're behind the curve a little bit if you don't have a quarterback who can at least escape pressure. I mean, Jaden Daniels, Jalen Hurts, you know, even Mahomes, Josh Allen, I mean, that's the style of quarterback that you need today. So, yeah, for me, if I had to pick Justin Fields over Russell Wilson, I would take Fields, and then you find out, you know, where he is. Maybe he's never going to be anything more than what he was with the Bears or what he showed you in six games last season, but then at least you know, and then you go to Plan B in 2026.
If Mike Tomlin puts such an emphasis on the quarterback mobility, Ray, then why are they seemingly screwing around here with Fields?
Well, you know, there was a reason he went to Russell in October, Donnie. They thought the passing game was lacking with Justin. You know, it'll be interesting. Do they, you know, with an entire offseason and a season, you know, in the Steelers program, do they feel like they can get more out of Justin this year? That's definitely one question that they're going to have to settle, you know, if they do go with Justin Fields. But, you know, obviously Russell Wilson is the better passer, even though the way the season ended, I still think that. So that's probably what they're balancing now. You know, how do we devise an offense around Justin Fields so we take advantage of all of his skills? And how do we do that with with Russell Wilson if you go with Wilson? Last year they were kind of toeing the line with each guy. Art Rooney sort of talked about that. You know, he'd like to have one quarterback and, you know, an offense that suits that quarterback. So maybe that's what they're going to do this offseason. We'll find out when they choose a QB and how they devise their offense and OTAs, but that's the next shoe to drop.
Man, it sure is, Ray, the next shoe to drop. And I'm just baffled by this whole thing. I don't know if you are too, but how is it just a marriage of desperation if it's Russell Wilson and the Steelers? Because you have a guy who I think we all would agree is sort of fading at this point. Plus, doesn't seem enamored with how they're letting him play or not play. Plus, Artie Smith doesn't right. seem enamored with him. Like, yeah. Nothing seems to add up other than they're both desperate.
Yeah, I mean, if they bring Russell Wilson back, guys, I mean, they would have to definitely get in a room and sort out everything that went on in the final 6 weeks or so of the season. And I'm sure if they decide Russell is the guy, they're going to have those conversations before they sign him to a contract, because they have to make sure that Arthur is able to work with him, and then vice versa, too.
Well, the crux of the issue seems to be Russ wants to play the way he wants to play, so I don't know how that gets solved.
Well, I mean, would Russ be asking for anything out of the ordinary to make some basic changes at the line of scrimmage that all quarterbacks of his experience do? Like, I sort of go back and forth with the whole thing with the audibles. I think that's what you're talking about, right, Joe? I mean, the ability to get in and out of plays.
Yes, but not just that. The other crux of Dulac's story was Russ wants to cook a little bit and open up and pass the ball, and Artie Smith and Tomlin don't.
Yeah, so that's probably more an issue that Russell Wilson has with Mike Tomlin than Arthur Smith. I think Russell knows. He had a lot of success in Seattle when they were a run-first offense. When I think about the whole thing with Arthur Smith and Russell Wilson, I think more of, you know, the freedom to change plays at the line of scrimmage, that sort of thing. I think if you have a good offensive line, the running game's going to be good. That's good for the quarterback. So I don't put too much stock into that. I think it's more so, can I do my thing at the line of scrimmage, get us into good plays, and can I be the quarterback I want to be? I think that's where Russ stands.
Ray, free agency about a month away, and the last few times we have talked, you have said there are still ongoing conversations, and internally the Steelers aren't sure who they want back at quarterback. Any update there, and when should we expect that timeline to kind of come to an end?
Yeah, I haven't heard anything like in the last week or so on that. I think they're deep into those discussions now after the Senior Bowl. I would imagine, once we get to the combine here, not next week, but the week after, I think maybe the story could break out there or shortly thereafter, because free agency begins in the middle of March. And I don't think the Steelers, if they choose Fields or Wilson, I don't think they want to get into a bidding war with anyone. They want to decide that. They want to get that guy signed before free agency starts. So whether it's at the end of this month or the first week of March, I think we'll, one of those two deals. End of this month, first week of March, I think we'll know what their decision is on quarterback.
Ray Fittipaldo of the Post-Gazette. You can read his stuff at postgazette.com. Jerry Dulac, our colleague, recently reported that there's a chance, maybe a good chance, that Najee will be back. Where did this come from, and is this a good idea?
I don't think it's a good idea. The only thing I can think of is that, Jaylen Warren's RFA tender is not going to be cheap. I think if you put the second-round tender on him, it's going to be about $5 million. If you put the lower-round tender, it's going to be about $3 million. So, maybe they just want to go one more year, see how it goes with Jalen. If Jalen's hurt again, then they got Najee in the draft pick, or vice versa. Maybe they're going to sign Najee, and it won't be a 3 or 4 year deal. Maybe it'll just be a 2 year deal that they can get out from under if they want to move on. So we've talked about it since the season ended. This is a really good draft for running backs. And if they don't get a running back in this draft, I think they would be doing themselves a disservice, because there's probably starters you can get round 1, 2, 3, 4, even 5. It's that stacked. And I definitely think they're going to draft one, whether Najee comes back or not.
Do they not anticipate Najee Harris having a pretty good market? Because I know that in Jerry's chat the other day, somebody suggested 3 years for $18 million. I feel like, even though I don't think very highly of the player at this point, I think he's going to get more than that from another team.
Yeah, I mean, 3 years, that would only be $6 million a year. I mean,
right.
That guy from the Bills, James Cook, wants $15 million a year. So, I mean, the salary cap goes up. All these contracts go up every single year. So I would think the market for Najee would be somewhere between, you know, the fifth-year option was $6.7 million. So somewhere between $7 and $9 million a year, something like that. I would anticipate there's going to be a team or two out there that would sign him for that. And if the Steelers want him back, I would think it would probably be somewhere in the range of 2 for $16 or 3 for $24 if they did want to bring him back.
What do you think about going with Kyle Allen for a year and just mailing it in, Ray? Trading T.J. Watt, trading Minka, and pulling the 83-84 Penguins and trying to get a good pick when the draft is in your city?
Yeah, I mean, you can forget about trading Watt, and Minka's untradeable because of that contract, so you can forget about that too. But
tell me more about that. Tell me more about why he's untradeable. Help me understand that.
Well, just because, I mean, the dead money involved for the Steelers, the acquiring team would be on the hook for a lot of money, and it's just, why would you know, if his skills are diminishing, why would you trade for a guy that you're going to have to pay a $16 million salary to for the next 2 years? So,
yeah, I guess maybe they can schedule some flag football games where a receiver is playing quarterback and he can make some interceptions in those games, Donnie. Where did you find that limits? I thought nothing worked.
No, again, this computer works. Everything else doesn't.
His best game in the last 3 years was in a flag football game, Ray.
Man, that just brightens up my morning when I get to hear Ron's laugh.
Doesn't it, though?
but I would be on board for, you say, mailing it in. But, yeah, could you get Arch Manning? There's probably going to be 3 or 4 quarterbacks in next year's draft who are better than Cam Ward and Shador Sanders. So, yeah, I'd be all for it. Go 4-13, get one of those guys, and maybe you got your new Ben Roethlisberger.
Ray, the scouting combine at the end of this month, that will also trickle into that first weekend in March. Last year, 25 defensive linemen got invited. This year, over 40 defensive linemen get invited. Are you starting to get the feel early that is going to be the position that is targeted at 21? Or are they going to keep things pretty open if a good wide receiver is still there?
Yeah, I mean, I think they'll keep their options open. When you have that kind of depth, you could certainly get a guy in the second round who could step in and be a starter for you right away. But when I look at it, they haven't drafted a defensive lineman since 2011 when Cam Hayward was the pick. They've addressed the offensive line the past 2 years. If you know anything about Andy Weidel, he wants to do the defensive line next. So I would be surprised if they don't take one in the first round, but certainly on the first 2 days of the draft, they're going to get at least one and maybe two defensive linemen because of what you said. This is an incredibly deep crop of defensive linemen, and it's not always like that. You know, you see a lot of edge rushers every single year. That's consistent. You see receivers every year. That's consistent. But there have been years when, you know, there have maybe been like one draftable defensive lineman in the first round. This year you might have 4 or 5. So I'd be surprised if they didn't take advantage of that this year.
Ray? I'm sorry. Because we played Ron's voice, now I can never open my mic the way he used to do. Here's something that I'm very intrigued by. It's Chad Reuter at NFL.com. He has the Steelers' top three picks as Quinshon Judkins, the running back from Ohio State, who, you know, it takes Najee 11 carries to get what this guy can get on one. Jalen Milroe in the second round, and Denzel Burke, the corner from Ohio State, in the third round. Let's just become Ohio State and Alabama. That intrigues me. I actually like that.
You want to take a running back in the first round again?
One who can travel more than 10 yards at a given time, yeah.
Listen, if you want to get the big play running back from Ohio State, it's Travion Henderson. Travion Henderson averages, I think, 7.2 yards per carry.
Then take him.
Well, that's, yeah. I mean, when I watch Judkins, and I know it's different from Big Ten football to the NFL, but Judkins is more like Najee Harris than a guy who's going to break a big run. So, I mean, I wouldn't mind them taking a running back, Joe.
I mean, he had an 86-yard run. That's like Najee over seven games.
Well, let's see what Judkins runs at the combine. Let's see what Henderson runs. I think Henderson is the better big play threat. I know Judkins probably played more because he's like that workhorse Big Ten type of a back, but I think Henderson might have a little bit more upside in the league, but we'll see. They're both good players, but like if I'm looking for a change of pace, somebody different from Najee Harris, I'm not taking Judkins. I'm probably taking Henderson or somebody else.
I'm sort of half kidding, Donnie, but it is eye-opening when I look at somebody's draft board. It has a quarterback, it has a running back, and some electric athleticism.
I saw
no matter
that,
what Ray says.
I saw that mock draft earlier this week, and I thought it was nightmare fuel. I think that would be like the worst case scenario.
I think it'd be unbelievable.
Back,
yes.
A second round project quarterback that has tiny hands.
Yes.
And then a mid round corner.
Yes. I love it.
They'd miss on all three.
Well, what's the difference then? I think it'd be great.
If they open against the Ravens, they give up 400 yards rushing. What are we doing?
Not making the playoffs probably next year and never winning a playoff game. Ray, here are the run. Did I read you last week the running backs from Steelers history that have a better yards per attempt than at least one longer run than Najee's career long?
Yes, you did.
I'm going to do it again. Frank Pollard, Tim Worley, Richard Huntley, Najee Davenport, Walter Abercrombie, Jonathan Dwyer, Verron Haynes, Ernest Jackson, Rodney Carter, Chris Fuamatufala, LeGarrette Blount, and Deuce Staley. And that's just the beginning. What do you make of that list, Donnie?
We went over it last week. It's hysterical, some of the names that are on there. Worley's an all-time bust. Some of those guys are like, they played at like 275 pounds.
The reason I mentioned that draft class, Ray, is I don't know. I guess I want an injection of some big playability. But honestly, I would probably go D-line. I would probably, they need to fortify their defensive line.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Larry Ogunjobi's going to be cut, guys. You could save $8 million, if you get rid of him. And then, you know, you got to hope Benton comes around. You got to hope Cam Hayward can repeat what he did last year. But this is all about the future. Cam Hayward's not going to last forever. I made this point, I think, in my chatter, in a story. Other than Cam Hayward, the Eagles' top six defensive linemen, every single one of them are better than everyone on the Steelers except for Cam Hayward. I mean, it's not even close. Jordan Davis, Jalen Carter. I mean, all those guys are better than what the Steelers have right now. So this Steelers defensive line is as bad as I've seen it in quite a long time. And, Omar Khan and Andy Weidel, they got to do something to address that this year. In free agency, in the draft, too, it's so bad right now, you got to just put all your resources into, getting that fixed, I think.
Donnie, do you think they'll take a quarterback in round two? Do you, Ray? Jackson Dart's another guy as I look at these mock drafts. Who is it? Field Yates from ESPN has them taking Jackson Dart in the first round. He throws darts, Ray. Would you take him?
Well, I want to see what he runs at the combine. I think I saw something online where, I don't know the last time he ran a 40, but like the 40 time was like 4.85 for Jackson Dart. And, I watched him at Ole Miss. He's got some some mobility, but, you know, a 4.85 is not going to cut it in the NFL if you want to be a running quarterback. So I definitely don't take a quarterback in the first round. I think that's, like Donnie said, that's a nightmare scenario. Build up the rest of your roster, get a winning roster in place, and then go find your quarterback in 26, 27, whenever that is. I don't, this Cam Ward stuff, Shador Sanders, Jackson Dart, I mean, I don't think there's a franchise quarterback among them, to be honest with you. This is like the Desmond Ridder, Kenny Pickett draft from a couple of years back. It's just, it's a very weak quarterback class.
Ray, let me know what you would think of this strategy. I feel like their first three picks in the draft, it should be some combination of D-tackle, D-tackle, wide receiver, whether that's wide receiver first and a couple of D-linemen, or they mix it up there. The D-line class is way too loaded. You have to double up at that position. We've seen Omar Khan double up at positions in both of his drafts so far. I mean, I wouldn't mess around with a quarterback until like round four or five and maybe just take a flyer on somebody. I'm addressing two of the biggest needs on the field.
Yeah, look at the Rams last year. They took Jared Verse and then Braden Fisk with their first two picks.
And they're both great. Verse was the rookie of the year.
Yep. I mean, that was a great move by Les Snead. And I like it, Donnie. The only thing is maybe, you know, where do you draft a corner? Do you go out and do a stopgap thing with another Dante Jackson type, or do you finally invest a pick, like a day one or a day two pick in a corner who could be the partner for Joey Porter long term? That's my only issue there, but I would not be disappointed at all if they went D-line receiver in some form or fashion, some order, on day one and day two. I think that would be awesome.
Donnie, may I engage Ray in a game of free association?
Yes.
Here we go, Ray. TJ Watt gets a $100 million contract this offseason. Extension.
No.
$80
million. Yeah, that's more like it.
Justin Fields, next team.
Steelers.
Russell Wilson's next team.
Giants.
Minka plays flag football at the Olympics in 2032.
Sure. They'll still be in shape.
Aaron Rodgers, next team.
Oh, man. Raiders.
Miles Garrett's next team.
I'll say he's going to be on the Browns in 2025.
Wow, that's an upset, Donnie. Joey Porter will be a great, good, or average player in his career.
Average to slightly above average.
Broderick Jones will be great, good, or average over his career.
That's a good one.
Or bad.
I'll go a little bit above average.
George Pickens will be back next season.
I'll say no.
Holy horse milk. Where does he wind up?
I don't know, but I mean, that could happen mid-March. That could also happen draft day. They got time to make that call. So whenever they can get a package that's most beneficial for them, I think they'll pull the trigger.
Last but not least, Ray Fittipaldo's personal favorite among the following running backs, all of whom had a higher career yards per carry and a longer run than Najee when they were with the Steelers. Your personal favorite among these, Ray: Frank Pollard, Tim Worley, Richard Huntley, Najee Davenport, Walter Abercrombie, Jonathan Dwyer, Verron Haynes, Ernest Jackson, Foo, Deuce Staley, LeGarrette Blount, or Rodney Carter. Which one did you like the best, Ray?
Well, you're going back to my childhood, so I'm going to take three of them because they were all like from the 80s. Pollard, Abercrombie, and Ernest Jackson, all from like the Mark Malone type era. So those are my three.
Ray, I have a semi-serious one for you. Debo Samuel, yeah. Cooper Kupp, Devontae Adams. Any of those three guys become Steelers?
I want Cooper Kupp because I think they need a leader in that room. But I don't think Debo Samuel would be bad either.
Does Omar screw that whole thing up again this year?
No, I think he realizes and they realize they got to get a veteran free agent in there who is good and who's a good leader, and of course they have to draft one too.
Thank you, Ray. You're a wonderful man.
All right, guys. Enjoy your weekend.
Thanks, Ray.
See you, Ray. Donnie, do you have a personal favorite among those backs? Ray went back to his childhood and pulled up guys like Walter Abercrombie.
I mean, Chris Fu is always a personal favorite. I mean, everybody just loved his name. Berman would say he's a bad Maafala on primetime.
That's pretty good. I am just absolutely blown away that Najee Davenport had a longer run in his career than Najee does in his. I mean, you remember that guy? They called him the dump truck for a variety of reasons.
Yeah, he was the running back in Tomlin's first season. Well, actually,
he had him return kicks. Do you remember that?
They used to have some.
He thought Najee Davenport was LaDainian Tomlinson.
They have had some random dudes return kicks. And the funny thing is, they would have random guys do it in years where the Steelers had a great team. The team that won 43, they would have like Kerry Davis back there returning kicks.
Let me ask you an honest question. Any one of those guys I mentioned from Steelers history that have a better yards per carry and a longer run in their careers than Najee, if you gave them, any one of them, the volume that you've given him, would they put up the same numbers or better?
I think a few of them would.
I think almost all of them would. I think you give a lot of guys. Now, his durability is a good thing. I'm not sure all could withstand that. And that might be one of his best attributes, the ability to withstand punishment. But if I said to Richard Huntley or John Dwyer, you're going to get 300-plus touches this year, it's inevitable to me that their production would be as good or better than his.
Yeah, because some of those guys played in sort of a committee where they weren't.
Right.
You know, Dwyer was always chilling with Red Zone Redman.
Frank Pollard is Gale Sayers compared to this guy. He is. Tim Worley, one of the biggest busts in Steelers history, has better numbers and ran for a longer run. It's incredible, Donnie. I'll never get over it. Ray's a nice man, isn't he?
Yes, he is.
How nice. Who's the nicest man you've met in Pittsburgh sports?
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This Fan Uncensored is going to be, or what the Fanniversary we're calling it.
Yeah, 15th anniversary.
It's going to be absolutely incredible, Donnie. I just went back with our boss behind the scenes, was listening to some of the great moments in fan history.
I mean, you, Malzy, Pony, you guys have to be part of that array of panelists that are up on stage at the Rivers Casino. I don't know. I don't really know about myself or Austin or Harry Callis just because we're relatively new. I mean, we grew up with listening to The Fan, but
yeah.
I mean, I've only been here 5 years.
What are some of your early memories of The Fan? Who was your favorite, Malzy Overnight?
I did love that it used to be a full-on 24-hour thing.
Yeah.
Because I said the other day, Chris and I had the conversation, and I got a surprising amount of positive reaction on Twitter, too. I put it out there. I feel like I could have a lot of fun if we still had those overnight shifts and I was doing something like 2 to 6 a.m.
That was Malzy's old show.
2 a.m.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Did you guys listen to Graveyard Malzy?
I did not. I was too young at that point. I would have been like 12, 13, 14 years old when Malzy was on during that time.
I listened to him a little bit. I know Colin was on in the evenings. Pony was on in the evenings.
Giannotti was on in the evenings.
I didn't really know who the guys were at
He was
the
on
time.
At 6 at least, Giannotti, at the start. Did you know that?
Yes.
That was a great show.
There's a video out there. There's a YouTube video out there, like the first, like when the station first went on the air.
Yeah.
And it was Alexander, John Burton, and Jim Colony.
Yes, it was. That's exactly right. Then it was Ron and Vinny. I was just listening to the Vinny and Cook Show outtakes back there. Phenomenal stuff that you're going to hear at this Fanniversary.
I remember the Ron and Vinny pair. My dad always cracked up at the Ron and Vinny pair.
They were entertaining, weren't they? Vinny was entertaining.
Vinny Ricchici.
Somebody asked Colin Cowherd when he was wrong about something again, and he said, I'm not paid to be right. I'm paid to be entertaining. Vinny was entertaining.
For sure.
I thought, you know?
Then it was you and Malzy in the afternoon. I remember that pairing.
Well, me and Seibel first. Do you remember the me and Malzy pairing? Did you like that show?
I did.
A lot of people liked that show.
I enjoyed Pony and Ron and you guys.
A lot of tension on the air. I first realized it. I had no idea what happened in radio. I had a little show at 1250 ESPN that Jim Gracie, our former boss here, hired me for. So when they called me and I interviewed for this job, I had no idea. And then all the hosts went out one day, or a lot of us anyway, for a lunch right around the corner at a little place. And I felt this like burning tension between people like Seibel and Giannotti. I guess I had an idea like we're all on one team here, but that is not the case in radio. It's like you want to have the best show, and sometimes it comes out humorously, but I think there's always a competition between shows, and that was the single most uncomfortable lunch I've ever had in my life. It was unbelievable, Donnie. It's like, oh my God, what is this?
See, I think we have a healthy competition here now, but I feel like there's not really animosity.
Maybe not with this. I think this group, less animosity than ever. This particular configuration of people. I would agree with that.
Yeah, like I feel like outside of work, it would be
what did the morning show
I can talk to?
Yeah. Yeah, I consider everybody here a friend. Pretty much. Like, not close.
We're
we don't
like
hang out.
Golden Girls, baby.
Yeah.
Thank you for being a friend.
Who was your favorite Golden Girl? Betty White?
Probably. Rue McClanahan, maybe?
Yeah, a great show. My wife loves that show. Who was the one that played
Blanche?
I don't remember the name. What was I just going to say? Oh, they said something on the afternoon show yesterday that the morning show went after you guys. What happened?
There was a little dart taken.
Did Pony ever say what the dart was?
No.
Did you take offense to it?
I didn't.
Who threw it?
I'll tell you off air.
He said a lot on air. You can't say anything about it?
He didn't say who said it.
Oh, okay. I won't reveal that. Well, you're telling me everybody loves each other. Now we're talking about darts being thrown at people's heads.
I thought, and I was the one that heard it. I mean, I thought it was fairly harmless.
Okay.
I wasn't offended.
But Pony said to you, if you were a full-time host, you would have been maybe offended.
Yes.
Now I'm very curious.
If I was one of the two guys actually on the microphone for 4 hours and not just popping in from time to time.
I can't wait to hear about this. 20 quarterbacks for the Jets by Zach Rosenblatt, which is a great name, isn't it, Donnie? Rosenblatt. I love that name. Here are the options. You tell me whether you'd be interested for the Steelers. You ready, Limits?
I'm ready. They're trying to figure out some stuff back there.
Simple yes or no will do. Are you okay to participate here?
Yes,
or are you
I am.
Under duress?
No, I'm good.
Tyrod Taylor, no.
We're saying as starters, right?
Yeah.
Okay. No, thanks.
No.
Unless I'm, again, and Tyrod Taylor's a respectable quarterback, unless I'm trying to take a step back next year.
I would say, like, backup, he's fine.
Then he would be, I think, the perfect guy. You know, he's okay, but you also might wind up with 6 wins, which I think would be the best thing for this franchise. But no, this is in the context of trying to win next year. Jordan Travis, I won't mention. Sam Darnold.
Little bit.
If it's a yes or no question, Donnie.
I would say yes.
Also would say yes.
I'd say no. You might wonder why.
Because of how the season ended for Sam Darnold.
Yes, and I think on this team, with these coaches, compared to Kevin O'Connell.
Yeah, he was in a great situation.
I think it would be a disaster. Would either one of you like to elaborate on your yes?
Well, I do feel like the ability to, and I do have that same concern where
he's the Sam Darnold guy too.
I know he is.
Not? Yes.
But I do have some concern because the situation was so perfect for him in Minnesota. It was set up very well with weapons and head coach where it's not the same right here, the Steelers. I still think he would be good, but not be able to thrive as much as the Vikings.
All right. We got to go quick. Justin Fields.
Yes.
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 I still think he's the most logical
under
option.
The circumstances, but he ain't getting him anywhere. Russell Wilson, no.
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 Daniel Jones, yes.
For some reason, I feel like I could actually lean yes. I'm going to say no, but I definitely don't put him in the same category as like Russ or even an Aaron Rodgers.
All right.
No.
Jacoby Brissett, he's pretty good actually, but no.
Yeah, I would say no as a starter. He and Tyrod Taylor, they're like two of the first guys you think of when you currently think like, oh, okay, nice little backup quarterback.
And I love the fact that Jacoby has capitalized on that with that commercial where he comes off the bench to
do
their taxes.
Commercials.
They're brilliant.
You got Josh
brilliant.
McCown in there.
Yes.
Nick Foles pops in there.
Tremendous.
For one of them.
What a great idea. Limits?
I say no. He's a good backup, but not as good starter.
Jameis Winston, no.
No, as entertaining as it would be.
No, no famous Jameis.
Although, again, he'd be an ideal guy to take a step back with. So would Cooper Rush and Carson Wentz. I say no, no.
No. Limits? I could not believe how bad Wentz was in that final regular season game.
Oh, my God, is he horrifying. Just horrifyingly bad. One of the greatest demises I've ever seen in a quarterback.
The man would have won MVP in 2017.
I know. He's a broken man.
Not at all to Carson Wentz.
Matthew Stafford. Yes.
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 Kyler Murray. Yes.
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 Kirk Cousins. No.
You asked me like 2 or 3 years ago, I would have said yes, but I'm going to say no. But again, I'm not putting it all the way down in the pit, but it's still a no.
No.
Derek Carr? Yes.
I'd say yes. I'm a Derek Carr guy.
No, emphatically.
I picked the guy to win MVP in like 2021. Did you know that, Joe?
At that time, it wasn't a bet. He's gotten MVP votes, hasn't he, before?
Yeah, it was maybe like 2016 or something. He had that huge year.
Yeah.
But then he was paired with Devontae Adams. And I thought, okay, maybe they'll cook something up special here. And that did not happen.
Geno Smith, no.
I'd say yes to Geno Smith.
No.
Hendon Hooker.
No.
Tanner McKee.
No.
Joe Milton.
No.
No, but I would put Milton ahead of the last two names you said.
Tanner McKee?
He's on this list. I don't know why.
Tanner McKee.
Yeah, he's on the list for the Athletic.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 50% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale right now and save up to 50% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 50% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Marketers, are you ready to make an impact with audio advertising? People are hungry for authentic connections in a world buzzing all around us. How do you cut through the noise and truly reach your audience? Visit stateofaudio.com to see Odyssey's State of Audio, the Trends Report. Uncover the secrets to high-impact creative. Learn how AI is revolutionizing the industry and get ahead of the curve on measurement and audience trends. Don't just stay in the game. Win it. Visit stateofaudio.com and download your free copy.